Good morning to everyone here in the building and at home. It's really lovely to be here. It's my first time, that I've, apart from last week for the communion, that I've been in the building. So it's really lovely to see you all. So I've been asked to talk this morning about a little verse, which is 2 Thessalonians 3:16. And I'm going to just start off by reading it, but please just take in the weight of every word. Now, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. Now, it would be tempting when you've read through 1 and 2 Thessalonians to just kind of think, oh, got there, that's the end. It's just a little kind of, and peace be with you all at the end, which I would be quite tempted to do. And often, even in our culture, we use kind of this a blessing or a benediction. Oh, you know, bless you, or someone sneezes. Or in Cornwall, some people say to my kids, oh, dear of him, if they fall over and things. And we can use it quite glibly. So we could think that Paul's just saying, and at the end, peace be with you all. And around the world, in Hebrew culture, shalom is used as a kind of just a daily greeting. And when you leave someone, or salam in the Arabic-speaking world, again, meaning peace. But actually, surprise, you know, when we start to look into how much is in this one little verse and the weight of what Paul is saying just in these few words, it's quite amazing. So hopefully I can just unpack that a little bit this morning. And I want to look at 3 questions. What is this peace? What is he praying for the Thessalonians for? What does he mean by this peace? Secondly, what are some of the things that can disturb our peace and rob us of that? And then lastly, who is this peace given to? So I'll take each one of those in turn. So the first question that I kind of thought about is, what does Paul mean by this peace? What is it that he's talking about? It's really similar. It's the Greek word that's used, eirene, and it is really similar. It's usually translated directly across from the Hebrew word shalom. And it's got 2 senses to it. It is a personal kind of rest and well-being. And that's why it would be used as a greeting. So it doesn't just mean, I hope you don't get caught up in a fight or a war. It's much more than that. It's, I hope things go well for you. And it's a real well-being. And also, it's got another meaning, which is like a societal wholeness. So a society that's got shalom or Iranian Greek would be characterized by justice and health. It would be well-ordered. And it would include the absence of threat. So it just made me think about that series that the Mountjoys have been doing about a kind of society, a kingdom society that we look forward to, that we'll only fully see when Jesus returns, but we can embody in our lives. So there's so much in that prayer for peace. Yes, it is a personal thing of rest and well-being, and it's also so much more than that. It kind of applies to the whole of society. If you're interested, so in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, that amazing blessing that was so powerful during lockdown that says from Numbers 6:26, that says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's the same peace. That's how they translated it. So that's what we're talking about, this very deep peace. I wanted to say it's not an emotion. Sometimes the two things coincide. I've definitely had experiences as a Christian where I've felt emotionally a peace about difficult situations. And I'm sure lots of us can have experienced that. But it doesn't always coincide. We can have that peace, and Paul's praying for that peace in every situation. So this benediction and this blessing that we get at the end of 2 Thessalonians is just as relevant, I would suggest even more relevant to this group of Thessalonians who life is tough for them. They have been and are being persecuted. It's relevant to Christian communities in Syrian refugee camps or in the Calais jungle. It's relevant, I would say more relevant, to people living in really fractious households where it's not visible from outside the walls what's really going on in that house. It's relevant to people who are troubled by their own minds through mental health issues, depression, anxiety. It's just as relevant. It's more relevant. That's what Paul's praying for, that all of the Thessalonians would have that peace in all situations, in every way. And actually, that word all in Greek that comes from pantos, when he says, at all times, in all ways, the Lord be with you all. It's a real kind of poetic, you know, it's got some power behind it. It's for everyone in every circumstance. I had to apologize to my year nines this week because I was teaching a history lesson about Dunkirk, and we were debating whether it was a triumph or a tragedy. Anyway, in the context of that lesson, I was going to show them a film clip that comes from the film Atonement, 2007 film. And it's a brilliant scene. My husband tells me regularly how it's an amazing continuity shot because he's into film. And it's it kind of reaches this climax on the beaches of Dunkirk where the camera, it's a continuity shot, so there's no edit. I don't know how they set it up because there's horses and everything involved. But the camera goes round on the beaches of Dunkirk and it's very stirring, it's very moving. There's chaos, but there's also order in some parts. And there is very stirring music, which always gets me. The strings, the cellos come in. And then the camera moves across a group of soldiers who are standing quite resolutely, obviously weary physically, facing forwards in their uniforms, but as a unit. And they are singing the words of a hymn, which I thought I'd written down, that says, where is it? Oh yeah, here we go. So they're singing, drop thy still dew of quietness till all our striving cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace. And for me, if there's an image of peace on the beaches of Dunkirk with the shells and the bombs and the weariness, but still those words being sung, spoken out. Now, who knows whether that's historically accurate, but as an image of peace for me to hang on to and what the kind of peace in our lives that Paul's praying for the Thessalonians for, it gets me every time. So I had to apologise because I literally have a tear, but I think they forgive me because they can see I'm a human being. So that's the kind of peace that I believe that Paul is praying for. Now, the second question I wanted to look at was, what are some of the things that can take or disturb this peace that Paul is praying for? I'm going to be really honest. For me, one of the main things that I know takes and robs my peace on a day-to-day basis is just sheer busyness. And feeling overwhelmed at the amount of things that need doing in 24 hours. And I say it with a smile on my face, but I go around kind of saying all the time, oh, there just aren't enough hours in the day. But actually, that's a real problem in our Western modern world. It's not something to laugh about, really. It's a problem that we get to that point where this peace of Jesus, and, you know, peace is a person. It isn't just a kind of vague feeling of relaxation. It comes from the Lord of peace himself, Jesus. And I know from experience that when I stop and when I give God the time and when I let Jesus, the Lord himself, give that peace to me, I know that it affects everything else in my life. And suddenly I've got time to do things and suddenly things aren't so stressful. But I'm like a toddler with my fingers in my ears going, hang on, I'll just try it my way again and run around like a headless chicken and see how that works out for me. And I know deep down that it doesn't work. And I continue to persist with it. And I'm speaking to myself, but it might relate to others of you. That the Jesus is there, the Lord of peace himself, giving us not just a feeling of peace, but giving us himself. It's there for us to have. And it's what Paul's praying for. But sometimes we can rob ourselves of it by just not giving God the time and the space. And I'm saying that very much to myself. A quick book recommendation that I recommended to Linda a while ago, a book I read just right at the start of lockdown that's called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And it talks about how we get robbed of our peace in this way. I would really recommend it. It's brilliant. Anyway, Another thing that can rob us of our peace is when we know that we are out of God's will for our lives. Of course, we all sin, so I'm not talking about those kind of incidental things. But in general, when we know that we're not following what God wants for our lives, our peace is disturbed. And it goes both ways. We can be in a really difficult life situation, and yet we can have that underlying peace. But then the other way around, our lives can be seemingly going really well. Our relationship's intact and, you know, money might be okay. But actually, if we're not in line with what God wants for our lives, we can lose that peace. And in that case, as I was praying about this, I just had that image of the prodigal son kind of returning home, like dumping the bags on the floor and saying to the father, I've tried to find peace elsewhere. And, you know, for some of us, you know, I've tried again and it's just not out there. The only true peace is Jesus himself and that relationship with him. So, yeah, that's another thing that can rob us. And then thirdly, I just had a kind of real feeling that actually some of the things that rob us of our peace is when life just gets really tough. And I know for each one of us, just looking around, some of us and some of the people we know are facing things at the moment. I'm just thinking about Karen and Murray there as well, that are genuinely just, it feels like a bit too much. Things are really, really hard. And sometimes in those situations, you know, the fog is too thick, the sadness is too much for us to bear, and the peace of Jesus just can elude us, even though we know it's there. Which brings me on to my final question. About who is Paul praying for this peace for? And I suspected when it's a long time since I looked up any New Testament Greek. I did about 20 years ago when I was at university. But I strongly suspected when I looked in the Greek that when it says, may the Lord himself give you peace, I just had a hunch that it would be the plural Greek for you. And it was. I believe and think that Paul is praying for the peace of Jesus for that community, as a group, as a gathered group. And of course, within that, there are individuals. And I definitely believe that Paul meant it for individuals within the Thessalonians to have that peace. But I also believe in a special sense that he meant it, that the peace of Jesus sometimes comes through us as a gathered community. And that we can, it's from Jesus, it is Jesus, that peace, but we can kind of bring it for each other, especially when we know that people within our group and within our community, when our friends and our brothers and sisters are going through just too much. And like when the Israelites held up Moses' arms, while the battle was raging because his arms were tired. And I just think there are times in our community where it gets too much for some of us and we need to kind of just hold each other up and to bring that peace of Jesus to them when they need it. It can be practical. It can definitely be through prayer. It can be celebrating communion and just feeling that presence of Jesus in small groups and in big groups. I just wanted to say how grateful I've been personally and for my boys and I during this kind of really difficult lockdown time, that how hard this community here have worked to include people and make us feel part of a community. It's not perfect. We'd all rather be physically together, but it's really made a difference. There have even been moments, I'm sure there are others of you here, that you know, I can't stand Zoom really, but there have been moments where I've kind of arrived at a Zoom meeting and you can still feel that presence of God because we're a gathered community and there's something special about being together. There are moments in my life, and I'm sure there's others of you who can relate to it, like in the past with old Christian friends where I've been in situations or I've just, for whatever reason, just felt like I can't feel Jesus's peace at the minute. And you sit down to pray with a friend or you just share that load and suddenly that's when the peace of Jesus kind of breaks through. So I just really wanted to kind of just, you know, commend us to each other. Let's keep being there for each other. old Christian friends that don't come here, but also this group, and in our smaller groups, our prayer groups and our people we meet up with. It's so important. And then finally, I just kind of came back to just reread that verse. Sometimes I can feel like if I'm in a prayer meeting or praying for a friend or whatever, and I don't know what to pray for, I can feel like it's a bit of a cop-out to say, oh, we just pray for peace in this situation. But I was kind of brought up a bit short and humbled, and I thought, hang on a second. At the end of this letter of encouragement to these people that are so beloved of Paul, at the end of the, you know, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, I'm not going to accuse Paul of doing a cop-out and going, anyway, peace be with you. So I'm going to read it again. This isn't a cop-out. This is a spiritually powerful blessing and benediction on these people that I believe that we can use for each other. And it's not a cop-out. It's a good thing to pray. So I would like to finish by praying it again over you. And I would encourage you to pray it over each other in private when you're actually physically together. So 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all.